Welcome to G.L. Horton's StagePage Podcast. Today is the 14th of August, 2009. Soon, Gerilyn will be heading for Columbus to participate in Ohio State University's annual retreat for members of the International Center for Women Playwrights. We have her discussing that, including her expectations for it, followed by my reading of one of her latest monologues. These monologues are available from her website, www.stagepage.info, and may be freely used by students and auditioning actors. We do request that you attribute GL as the author. Her longer works are also available, and we hope you will ask permission before using them. Here's the playwright.
It's time for the International Center for Women Playwrights annual summer retreat at Ohio State University again, and I'm really looking forward to it. There wasn't an annual retreat last year, and I sort of worried that there might not ever be again. But Professor Alan Woods did pull together one for us, and I expect it's going to be a big one this time. I've seen names of people who I've enjoyed meeting and some new members who've never come before, and we'll get together, and I assume that we're going to have a happy and productive time. It's sort of a combination of the salt mines and a pajama party. We stay in a dorm at Ohio State, and we have access to a computer lab and to a group of actors and actresses that Alan has pulled together. There's some students. There's some people from a senior theater company. So there's quite a range, and a couple of faculty members come and help out. We spend the morning sitting either in our dorm room with our own laptops or in the computer lab working away. And there's something very inspiring about being in a whole room full of women playwrights all concentrating. You can feel the excitement of creativity in the air. And then we either go off ourselves in little groups for lunch or sometimes we'll have a picnic together. And then at approximately 4 o'clock, Alan has arranged some kind of a program for us where we see the work that other people are doing, or we hear about the way a theater company handles new work, especially theater companies in that area. And they do a presentation, then we get to have a back and forth question and answer session. And of course, we'll probably get together later on at the pajama party time and talk about what we saw and heard and learned about that day. I see that this year, the Evolution Theater Company and Mad Lab Theater are going to be there. There's a Columbus organizations that do new work, and they're going to talk about how they do that. And Catherine Berkman, who has had a women's theater company for many years and done lots of exciting work, who is sort of semi-retired now, is going to do a presentation on her projects past and present. And the last time she did this, she brought along some wonderful film, some of which showed Alan Woods in his capacity as actor. This is a capacity that those of us who've gone to the ICWP retreat before have come to depend on, because he's a wonderful actor. And he performs appropriate and occasionally inappropriate roles in the things that we've been working on. That's the next aspect of the program, which is that we reconvene about 7 o'clock and we do readings in the lab with these actors of the material that we've been working on in the writing sessions. So the first person to get some chunk of work done is the first person to get it read. And then slowly you begin to read the things that everybody's been doing as time goes. Now, you don't have to come for the whole session. So some people will be checking in Sunday on the 16th of August, which is when it starts. And people will keep showing up throughout the week. I'm planning to stay for all 8 days of it, because it is such a wonderful experience. And of course, time you spend in travel is kind of lost. So it's nice to actually get somewhere and stop worrying about your luggage and where you're going to lay your head that night and whether you left something on the plane or whatever, and just settle into this controlled environment where everything is focused on the work. So at these readings, we hear the work that's been done in the writing sessions in the morning, or by some people who stayed up all through the night working on the inspiration that they began during the day. And then you get feedback from the actors and the other playwrights. That, too, is a wonderful thing. Now, I belong to two writers' groups. They're excellent writers' groups. But it's not immediate feedback. And in the larger of the writer groups, you have to sign up to have your play read pretty much at the beginning of the year-long program. And you get yourself a slot for your reading. So you might have a play that didn't manage to get a reading last year, a short play even, and the first time you'll get to hear it read is like 14 months later. You may by that time have forgotten what it was that you were intending that draft to convey. And you may have had time to write a couple of drafts before you get to hear it read out loud by actors. But it's the reading by actors that is so inspiring. And you usually do get generally helpful feedback. Now, of course, not all feedback is helpful, but you should dutifully write it all down, and then later on you can cross out the stuff that if you were to follow it, you'd be writing somebody else's play rather than the one you have in mind, and only pay attention to the things that tell you where what you meant the audience to understand and feel didn't get communicated. You left something out, you put too much of something else in, whatever it is you got in your own way in telling the story you want to tell about the characters who are vivid to you but have to be made living and interesting and suspenseful to the people who are going to be your audience. Then, after a late supper, or no supper, we go back to our dorm rooms, and those who are so inclined, which sometimes is everybody and sometimes is not, will gather in somebody's dorm room or the lounge and start talking about all the wonderful experiences they had that day. And that's the point at which you begin to hear really inspiring and moving and friendship-cementing tales of other people's lives. It's not all shop talk. Some of it is about our families, about our struggles to both make a living and devote the kind of time and attention and enthusiasm to the project of writing, in addition to putting food on the table and not damaging our children and dealing with car insurance and all the petty details of the day that somehow when you think about the lives of the artist, you imagine that they are cleared and free from by their wonderful focused attention on the activities that produce these wonderful pieces of literature or performances that have inspired you to want to do them too. But really, a lot of life is just one darn thing after another, and figuring out how to cope with that and how to make use of experience that other people have had successfully coping with it is an important lesson to learn for somebody who plans to have a life in art. And we exchange that information. I tell my stories, and other women playwrights tell their stories, and together we discover that we actually have some very major things in common which don't necessarily come up in general playwright conversations. And that's why we need a woman playwright organization instead of just groups that are open to both men and women, where we discover our commonalities and things that make us different. And in that sense, also particularly valuable, because there have been so few popular women playwrights in the long history of theatrical production that we don't even know what we're missing from the voices of that half of humanity, because we haven't heard enough of them to know what they specifically as a gender have to offer, as opposed to just particular instances of a particular human life. But really, women's lives are in crucial, although not overarching ways, quite different. Of course, the most usual is the relationship to childbearing and nurturing that is not usually assigned to men in anything like the same way it is to women. So that's one big area of subject matter and of personal conversation that comes up a lot. Another thing that comes up a lot is how to deal with getting access to production. And That's a subject that has been the topic of a lot of organized conversation this year, because a student in economics did, as her graduate project, a study of production opportunities for women in the American theater. And she looked at the schedules of many, many theaters, mostly professional ones, and saw of the new works that they did, how many were written by women. And they are surprisingly low number, much fewer than you would expect, considering that about half the playwriting students and many more of the acting and directing students are now female. And the majority of the theater audience all across the country is and has been for probably at least two decades now, and maybe longer, better than 60% female. So you would think that addressing that audience, speaking to their concerns from the particular position that a woman playwright falls heir to simply because she is a woman, would be a factor in how theaters make the decisions to put plays on that they hope will please and draw that audience. But it doesn't seem to be working in women's favor. They just don't get as many productions, in spite of the fact that she also discovered that when they do get productions, those productions do better at the box office. Statistically, the plays by women that do manage to get produced actually bring in bigger audiences, make more money than the average of the plays written by men that get produced. So somehow there is a glitch, a barrier in the process of submissions, because many theaters claim that they don't get as many submissions from women as from men, and that may have to do with the fact that fewer women have agents, because fewer women have had productions, and you have to have a successful production before an agent wants to take you on. Or it could have to do with other gatekeeping processes, which are the widespread belief that plays by women do not do as well as plays by men at the box office. So anyway, we certainly are going to be talking about this at the meeting, because online theater mailing lists or bulletin boards have been having this conversation. And there have been meetings in New York and occasionally elsewhere. I expect there will be one in Boston, and there's been an informal one already in this area, are getting together to discuss this documentation of the actual situation and whether there are things that we can do as individuals or as organizations to try to redress the balance. Now, there's one more activity that I associate with the ICWP summer retreat, and that is making podcasts from the summer retreat. I sometimes record the actors reading something of my play, or maybe a play by one of the other playwrights there who's willing to have this not flawless rendition that the actors do, who've just been handed the scripts that minute, show up on the air where anybody can listen to it. I think it's fascinating, and I'm perfectly willing to share it, mistakes and stumbles and even negative criticism and all. But anyway, sometimes I do the recordings of that. Sometimes I interview. Well, I've done two Alan Woods interviews, and I've done interviews with other individual playwrights. But I've also done interviews from the pajama party, where we're all together discussing something, and I say, hey, this is pretty interesting. And I pull out my iBook laptop and plug in the microphone, and we go on talking. And then when I bring it home, David will edit it to make it into a podcast. But this year, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to take my laptop. I'm going to my parents' memorial service on the way. And in order to actually get there, I have to not check my luggage. I have to be able to carry it and grab a rental car and drive where I have to go. And so I don't think I'm going to be able to get both my clothes and my laptop all into a piece of luggage of the size that planes are willing to let me carry on. So I don't know whether I'm going to take a flash drive and a tiny little microphone, so that if there is available some equipment in the lab on which I can do a podcast, I will do one. Otherwise, this may be the only podcast that the world is going to get on the subject of this retreat. And it's just me, and I'm a poor substitute for the wealth of experience and wit and charm and anecdote and wisdom and dramatization that you would get if you had a whole group of these wonderful women playwrights gathered together to talk to you via podcast. But until that happy circumstance can be repeated, this is the story, the 2009 ICWP Playwrights Retreat, which will be from August 16th to 23rd at the Theater Department of Ohio State University.
Thank you, Geraldine. Now it's my turn. GL envisioned this one for a high school student. I didn't see it that way. That's the nice thing about most of her scripts. They are open to a great deal of honest interpretation. My version is in no way intended as a ruler to measure your version by. If you happen to record something of hers that you are happy with, send it off to her at g.l.horton@mindspring.com. We may just include it in a future show. Hey, not everyone is hung up on the idea that physical contact has to be part of some big emotional commitment. Those free hugs people, the ones you see at a Comic-Con, wearing their free hugs t-shirts? Now, I'm the kind of person who hardly ever hugs, even in my own family, and I certainly won't hug strangers. Well, there was this one time at an office Christmas party. Somebody pointed me out as the geek who fought off the hack attack, and three or four tipsy users converged and slobbered on me. But anyway, I just don't understand the impulse to hug people you don't have any particular reason to hug. But I don't understand the impulse to eat turnip greens either. It's not my thing. That doesn't mean that people eat turnip greens or hug strangers are trying to prove something, or exploit somebody, or running some kind of scam. Not at all. They're just happy to do their thing and hug people who want to be hugged. Same thing with sex. There are some people who don't necessarily associate a huge amount of emotion with sex. They just enjoy having sex with people who want to have sex with them. And if one of them were to come on to me, why is there anything wrong with that? And that's a wrap. We will have to await GL's return from Ohio to hear how well, or not, the retreat went. If past experience is any measure, it will be both productive and fun. Until next time.
This production is the creation and property of David Meyer in association with G.L. Horton and the www.stagepage.info website. It may be redistributed in whole or in part only with credit given and with notice sent to davidmeyer@mac.com. Our music is from the Free Play Music Library, license granted through Apple's .Mac program.